Springtime by Chris Renzema, which relates to Pastor Mike's comments.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
and yeah.
Ready? Can you say it? You got it.
I haven't played in a while.
It's okay.
You're the resurrection that we waited for. You buried the night and came with the morning. You're the King of heaven. The praise is yours. The longer the quiet, the louder the chorus.
Brother Joe's going to bring a course, a message this morning on faithfulness. And I have a new Bible. The other one is falling completely apart. I think that's a good thing. So we need to all have new Bibles once in a while. But anyway, I thought out of my new Bible, I would read a verse or two about faithfulness. Kind of introduce Joe's message. The verses are in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's go.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Wow, what another amazing song by the Hancock Sisters. It's so nice to see those young ladies up here praising the Lord and honoring Him. Let us start off by going to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the warm mid-February sun. Thank you for all that you do for us. Please let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct this service. Thank you for this little church on the hill and the amazing testimonies. Be with the folks on the prayer list. Thank you for all these things. Thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So it's the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, as we continue to go through the fruits of the Spirit. It is amazing. And I must add that yesterday Heidi and I was finishing up working on the sermon, and it was snowing and blowing, and I had no faith. I had zero faith. I thought, sure, I was going to work. But sure enough, the creator of the world, he stopped the snow and the sun came out and it became a beautiful day and the roads melted off. So thank you. Thank him for all that. We had to go back and kneel in prayer and assure him that we understood that he was in charge of all this stuff. But either way, we would have been fine. We have done it before. We would have been perfectly fine either way, but it's very nice having the evening off with my wonderful wife.
Amen.
So, with that being said, we'll just briefly touch on our verses for today. If we've been in for a while in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this morning we'll look at what is faithfulness. And we've seen, of course, a lot in this church. We've seen, of course, a lot of amazing faithfulness. And we all know about faithfulness. So we've seen that the fruit of the Spirit is what others see in us. And that is the evidence the Holy Spirit is in us. And just as fruit is taken and eaten, and it is seen to be good to the one who eats it, so when the people see the fruit of the Spirit in us, they will see something that is good to have, something that they want to have, and something that they need to have.
Amen.
In some ways, this fruit is an inner attitude that has such an impact on others, such as love, joy, peace, and patience. In other ways, this fruit is an outward action that has a profound seismic effect on others, such as kindness and goodness. Now we see a fruit that is a firm and unshakable stand by us that will have an amazing impact on people who will be astounded by it. Christian faithfulness is defined as steadfastness, consistency, or allegiance. It is the carefulness in keeping what we are entrusted with. It is conviction that the Scriptures accurately reflect reality. Biblical faithfulness requires belief in what the Bible says about God.
Amen.
His existence, his works, and his character. Faithfulness is believing that God is who he says he is, and continuing in that belief despite what happens in our life. Functionality, that means we trust what God says in the Bible and not necessarily what the world or our own eyes tells us. We trust he will work out everything for good. We trust he will work his will in us, and we trust that our situation on earth is nothing compared to our future reward in heaven.
Amen.
The only way we can have such faith is by the Holy Spirit's influence. He testifies to the truth and impels us to seek God. The Spirit makes us faithful.
Amen.
We are saved by the grace of God, who gives to us what we don't deserve. Through faith in him, this faith is a belief that all that is in the Bible is true, and that God does always love us, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us, and that through his death our sins are forgiven, and that through his resurrection we too will have eternal life.
Amen.
However, the true faithfulness, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit to us, is this: that we will keep faith in God, trusting in him and all his promises, no matter what the circumstances of life, and that we will remain loyal to him, literally to the point of death.
Amen.
Let us see how the Bible describes this fruit of faithfulness, and let us begin by looking at Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi. The faithfulness of Paul and Silas. In Acts 16:34, Paul and Silas were arrested after delivering a slave girl from the evil spirit who was holding her bondage. The angry crowd seized them, and the authorities stripped them and beat them and shackled them and put them in the innermost cell of a prison. After an earthquake sprung open all the cell doors, the jailer fell before Paul and Silas and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Again, we ask, why did he do this? And one of the reasons is that he was overwhelmed by the faithfulness that he saw in Paul and Silas.
Amen.
The ordinary prisoner, after such harsh treatment, would have cursed God from whom they followed. They would have said that he was a fraud, a failure, one who could not protect his followers. But here were two men that not only remained true and steadfast to their God, but who continued to pray for him and sing praises to him in the midst of their suffering. Their faithfulness was unnatural, supernatural, and amazed him and transformed the jailer into knowing that he wanted and needed to have the knowledge of this one and true God.
Amen.
This is faithfulness. The remaining loyal to and totally dependent on our Father God, no matter what the circumstances of life, a faithfulness based on knowing God, trusting God, serving God is certainly that. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose in Romans 8:28. But it's just not Paul and Silas who show the faithfulness in action. Let's look at two Old Testament examples. We'll now look at the faithfulness of Joseph. We are told in Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph, son of Jacob, was given a dream that the sheaves of his brothers were bowing down to him. In another dream, the sun, moon, and 11 stars, his father, mother, and brothers, were bowing down to him. He knew by faith that God had something special in store for him. However, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, Genesis 37:28, and then Genesis 39, thrown into prison by Potiphar after he refused to break faith with God by sleeping with Potiphar's wife. Yet he never wavered in his faith, believing that God had an incredible plan for his life, and trusting in him, not moaning, but actually carrying on, serving God, even when his life was on the line.
Amen.
This is faithfulness in action, a decision to obey God no matter what the consequences, due to a belief that God was ultimately in control. Now, our final character on faithfulness in the Old Testament, of course, is Job. The faithfulness of Job. Job was a man of faith, a man who was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil in Job 1:1. God was very proud of Job, but Satan believed that Job's faith would collapse if times got hard for him. And verse 8 says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.'" In verse 9, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands and everything he has. You have blessed so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse your face. And so we see it. Faithfulness is proven only when present during the tough times. And so God allowed Satan to hit him where it hurts. Firstly, his wealth was taken from him. Secondly, his family. And thirdly, his own health was taken from him. But the proof that he remained faithful to God came quickly in verse 20. "At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground and worshiped and said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.'"
Amen.
His wife then manifested the natural reaction to disastrous circumstances, whereas Job manifested the truth of faithfulness. In verse 9, his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." In verse 10, he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept God and not trouble?" From chapter 3 onwards, we are encouraged by Job, for in his faithfulness, he was not any different from us. He too was beset with doubts and questions. Job felt sorry for himself, but he did not lose faith in God. He felt angry with God, but he did not lose faith in God. He challenged God to explain himself, but he did not lose faith in God. He pleads for mercy and relief and hears nothing, but he did not lose faith. He demanded that God listen to him, but he did not lose faith. He cries to God, but feels God does not answer, but he did not lose his faith. Then, and this is found in Job 13:15, he summarizes faithfulness. "Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him." And what is his hope in him? That God knows what he is doing, and that all will be well in the end. So in Job 19:25-27, he declares that he knows that my Redeemer lives, and that he will in the end see God, and he knows that God will bring good out of his suffering. Job 23:10, "But he knows the way that I take when he has tested me, and I will come forth as gold." In Job 38, God declares that we can never understand his ways. He is God, and his understanding is way above ours. Faith is accepting that God does know best, and that God is good, and God is love. And faithfulness is trusting in him as well as not denying him.
Amen.
And so at last in Job 42, we see that his faithfulness is rewarded. In his case, it was in this life, twice as much as he had before. With others, it is going to be with the benefits and blessings of eternal life. What an example Job is of faithfulness.
But
what about today? What about us? Will people see faithfulness growing in us, even when the going gets tough? The faithfulness of the persecuted church. If faithfulness is the ability, the decision to stand with God, to trust completely in him, to remain committed to him, even when life is hard, even when life is on the line, then the persecuted church is proof that the Holy Spirit of faithfulness is still very present in the world today. In 2009, Asia Bibi, in a Muslim nation of Pakistan, was verbally and physically attacked. She had been picking berries while it was hot. While working in the field, someone saw her drinking water from a cup previously used by Muslims. And she was informed that it was improper for a Christian to use that cup, and she was making the water impure by drinking from the cup. Bibi and her family were the only Christians living in that area at the time, and faced pressure to convert to Islam. She reports that when she was confronted with drinking of the water, that she said everyone should live in peace, Christians and Muslims. She was arrested and accused of blasphemy and encouraged to convert to Islam to keep her alive. In November of 2010, a judge sentenced her to death by hanging. She was the first woman to be sentenced to death under Pakistan's blaspheming laws. She recalls mistreatment at the hands of prison guards, and this is her account in saying, "I can't breathe. My neck is compressed by a neck brace that the guard can tighten as much as he wants with a big key. A long chain drags on the dirty floor. It links my throat to the guard's handcuffs and drags me like a dog." Miss Bibi told that her Christian faith helped her through the ordeal. Those persecuting her said again, "Change your faith and you'll be freed." But she said no. "I will live my sentence with my faith," she said. She found out from her husband that the whole world was praying for her, and that made her happy. She said, "I found out the whole world was praying for my misery to end. That made me feel that their prayers would definitely free me."
Amen.
She remained faithful, condemned to death. She remained faithful, thrown into a windowless cell in solitary confinement for 10 years. She remained faithful, refused when she was refused access to her children. She remained faithful. The conviction overturned, and she was freed. Although she fears for her life, she remains confined to her home much of the time, but she continues to remain faithful. How? The Holy Spirit is within her and is bearing the fruit of faithfulness for all to see.
Amen.
Another example of faithfulness is this. On April 29, 2015, 8 convicted drug traffickers were executed in a maximum security prison in Nusa Kambangan, Indonesia. Having been sentenced to death years earlier, they were given just a few days notice when their execution would be. But the long years in prison had changed them. 7 of the 10 had become Christians. By all accounts, they had not only accepted the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but had also rehabilitated themselves to be upstanding members of the prison system. Even in jail, they had made a positive contribution to the lives of other prisoners and sought to pay their debt to society. They died as they had learned to live, praising God.
Amen.
They had become Christians, full of life transformed, and they were transforming other people's lives, explains Redmond. Despite protests from across the globe, the authorities decided to uphold the death penalties. But when the day came for them to face the firing squad, something extraordinary happened. The prisoners declined the offer to wear blindfolds, and instead stood and faced their executors. According to witnesses, they recited the Lord's prayers, embraced one another, and sang 2 songs, Amazing Grace and 10,000 Reasons, before their voices were drowned out by gunfire. Pastor Karina De Vega, who was assigned to counsel one of the men, said, "This is the first time he had witnessed someone so excited to meet their God." For Matt Redmond, co-writer of 10,000 Reasons, hearing the news had a profound effect. "I felt majorly encouraged that this little song had found its way out there But I also thought, how astounding an example of worship is that? When people call someone like me a worship leader, is that it's almost a joke compared to people facing a loaded gun and still singing the praises of Jesus. It made me realize that you can face anything in this life and still sing a song of worship on your lips, anything. We remember when the Hancock sisters sang this beautiful song to us so beautifully. And if we could, we will listen to it really quickly again. What a beautiful song they have wrote. I'd like to thank the Hancock sisters for introducing Heidi and I, maybe the whole church, to the beautiful song. So now we go on to faithfulness in you and me. Faithfulness is not natural. When faced with trouble, disaster, and persecution, the natural response is self-defense, which will mean denying or rejecting the one in whom we have put our trust. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we will remain faithful in all and despite all things. And here is our challenge. What is going on in our life today? How confused are we by our circumstances of our life? It makes no sense at all sometimes. Are we willing to look at Job and today's martyrs and say, I will accept good and trouble from God, and I will not lose faith in Him? Being faithful is very different to the other fruits of the Spirit in that it has two opposite results. For some, like the Philippian jailer, it has the effect of breaking people and making them want to have the faithfulness that they see in us. For others, like the extremist Muslims in Pakistan over Asia Bibi, it makes them angry and even more hostile. So what is faith? It is obeying Him, following Him, whatever the circumstances. The faithful disciple is not a fair-weather Christian who only follows Jesus when going is good. It is believing that His promises are true and not doubting this, that whatever happens in this life, things are going to get better in eternity. But it goes further. Faith is the certainty and decision that He knows best, that out of His great love, He has all things under His control, and that all things will be used by Him for our benefit. And that's
Amen.
That's also in Romans 8:28. Faithfulness is not blind. Job shows us that it is natural to question God, even challenge Him, about the things that happen to us. This is not sin. But faithfulness means that we do not allow these human questions to overwhelm us. If they are overwhelming us today, then we need to seek God to help us. How do we grow in faithfulness? Same as always. Turn to God. Follow Him totally. Trust in His presence with us completely.
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank You again for this day that we can come out here on the little church on the hill and worship You freely without fear of persecution. Thank You for all the amazing things that You do in our life. Thank You for all the blessings that we do not deserve. Please be with the people on the prayer list. Please, precious Heavenly Father, be with our soldiers, men and women, wherever they may be, whatever they may be facing today. Thank You for them. Uplift them. Lead, guide, and direct them. Thank You for all the Christians that You have placed throughout the world where they're not free to serve You and that they have to sneak around with maybe one page of the Bible to read and learn about You. Be with them. Lead, guide, and direct them. Please continue, Father, to lead, guide, and direct us in the week and month and years to come that we may, through the Holy Spirit, remain faithful to You. Thank You again for each and every single person that has decided to come out here today and worship You and love You and honor You that You deserve. And thank You most of all again for Your Son Jesus, who came to earth so that He will die the perfect, He was a perfect sacrifice, that He would die and be resurrected so our sins can be forgiven. And when we pass away, we will be in Your presence. Thank You for Him. And in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. That was great. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for leading him in those words. Let's now stand and sing hymn number 40. Number 40. Okay.
That 10,000 in there just really hit me. I mean, you know, here we are talking about 10,000, and
yeah.
It comes out in the song that
yeah.
God provided yesterday to me.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Very, Holy Spirit moving.
Works together. Amen. Yes. I didn't read it before I put it in there.
Yeah.
I just knew that was
yeah.
the song.
This is a great, great hymn this morning. Very fitting for our worship, for sure. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for being in our presence. We thank you that Brother Joe was led to, by the Spirit and opened his heart to us this morning. We acknowledge, Lord, that there are times when we are not faithful, when we forget that you're in charge and that you love us no matter what, that you will never leave us. No matter what. And when we're confronted with trials and difficulties, we're sorry, Lord, that we can't think, first of all, of your faithfulness to us. But rather we think about what's going wrong and we get angry and confused, and we're sorry for that. That's sin. We just pray, Lord, that we will acknowledge that you're there to undergird us in all of our lives, in every situation. We know that your Holy Spirit is available in our decision making and in our acts of life. And we just pray, Lord, that we will be more thankful for the faithfulness that you show us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.